Teacher friends, I want to officially welcome you to a new school year. And I am saying that with so much excitement, but I also want you to understand that I realize that there are different emotions besides excitement that a new school year can bring. I know some of you are listening to this podcast and you are entering this new school year being like, yeah, but I wonder what it's actually gonna look like. Because we understand that education has changed a lot over the years, and that means that some of us are thinking, am I even going to be able to build relationships with students this year? Because kids have changed so much. Education has changed so much. And you're right if you're feeling nervous or anxious about that. Some of you are wondering if you're going to be able to build awesome connections with colleagues, because as you look around your school, you realize, oh my gosh, there are so many new people. Teacher turnover is out of control these days, and you might be finding yourself in a school where you are surrounded by new people, and you're like, I want my teacher BFF back. Some of you might be at a place where you're feeling so stinking stuck or so stinking serious. You want to go back to a time when it felt fun to walk into school. You want to go back to a time when it was awesome and absolutely acceptable to be silly with students. And I also understand that some of you are listening to this thinking like, yes, Monica, 100%, but I feel guilty for questioning things. I feel guilty for having some of these emotions, because some of you are wondering if this career is even still for you. And I need you to know that you're not alone, and that's the exact reason why I'm recording this episode. Whether you are a new teacher or a veteran teacher, whether you are new to your building or you have been there for a number of years, regardless of the age group that you teach or the subject area in which you try to reach students on a daily basis, this episode is going to be so much fun because I'm going to be digging into 6 simple yet strategic ideas on things that we can do this year to make it an awesome school year. And I'm so glad you found this episode. Stick with me with this, because if you wait till the very end, not only are you going to hear 6 really fun and simple ideas, but you're also going to have a feeling at the end of this episode. I'm just going to tell you right now, you're going to have a feeling. You're going to feel some kind of way, and I think it's going to be a positive way. And I don't want that feeling to fade. So stick around at the very end of the episode, because I'm going to give you some ideas on how you can keep this excitement, this energy, this optimism going for the next 180 days of this school year. So if that sounds like something that you're into, let's get into it. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. Let me explain how this episode is going to go. I'm going to throw out some sort of idea, okay? A foundation, a belief that I have that I think most teachers have, or I'll say this, most teachers want to have it, but maybe we become a little bit jaded. So I'm going to share that idea. I'm going to share that truth. And then what I'm going to do is give you guys concrete examples or strategies on how you can take that philosophy and apply it in your classroom setting. 6 of them. And they're all on different pillars of education. And the very first pillar of education that I want to talk about is the climate and the culture of education, because we all understand that it has become a little bit negative. And I'm not blaming anyone specifically for that, but it has gotten really easy to trash education. We look on social media. We look maybe in the news. We talk to parents. We talk to people who aren't in education, and everyone has an opinion about what school is, and a majority of the time it's not real positive. And so I think we have to get back to a place where we are actually celebrating education every single day. That's the philosophy. We can change the climate and culture of education by celebrating it every single day. But I want to be realistic. Not every moment in education is awesome. It's not. There are failures and frustrations and struggles and spirals all over the place. But, and this is a really important but, there are also little moments of awesome in every single school day. And I think that we just have to get to the point where we have to ask ourselves, are we being intentional about finding those little moments of awesome that make us smile, that make us happy, that make us feel good, that actually remind us that we love our job? And so one way that I like to do this is to create a whole lot of laughter. I think laughter leads to learning. I say that all the time. And I could do an entire podcast episode on that, because I think we have to be intentional. I don't think laughter and learning go hand in hand automatically. I think that there is a structure to that. But how do I create laughter and learning in my classroom? How do I intentionally create those little moments of awesome? Well, by utilizing what I'm bringing to the table. And I'm bringing a quirky personality to the table. And you're bringing something to the table too. What are you bringing to the table? Well, maybe you're going to decide this year that you're bringing stickers back. Justin Timberlake said he's bringing sexy back. And I think teachers need to bring stickers back. And some of you are like, I teach high school. Bring stickers back. Some of you are like, I already use stickers in kindergarten. Good. Use them more. But there's a strategy to my stickers, okay? I love using scratch and sniff stickers, because who doesn't? I'm a millennial. Of course, I like using scratch and sniff stickers. But here's the super fun part. I only use scratch and sniff stickers about 10% of the time. I say they're scratch and sniff 100% of the time, but they're only actually scratch and sniff about 10% of the time. And I think that's funny. And when the kids start scratching, they're like, I don't smell anything. I'm like, no, you got to keep going. Get after it. Get after that sticker. Keep scratching it. I'm like, it doesn't smell like anything. And I was like, oh, no, it does. When you scratch that one, that sticker smells like paper. That's hilarious. Unless you're a kindergarten teacher, and then it's not funny because it turns into tears. But I love being silly. And it's also a strategy. Because I want students to feel empowered to earn these stickers. And they know that sometimes they're going to actually be scratch and sniff. So they are on the edge of their seat trying to figure out, did I actually get a scratch and sniff sticker this time? Does it smell like bananas or does it smell like paper? Because they realize very quickly that Miss Jenta is a silly goose on the loose and is going to say it's a scratch and sniff sticker. But it's only going to happen a small percentage of the time. That to me is awesome. That's hilarious to me. And it's really funny and really quirky and really silly to a majority of students. And I think that just simple idea that is also absolutely outlandish can create little moments of awesome. It can create laughter and it can create learning. And so I guess as we kind of close up this first pillar of, I think we have to celebrate education, I want to ask you a question. Like, are you focused on failures or are you celebrating successes? Where are you at with that? There's not a right or wrong answer. There's only a truthful answer. And I want you to be truthful with yourself. And if you are feeling like, oh God, I've been so negative, maybe last year, the last few years, or maybe even the start of this year, you get the opportunity to shift that. We can start celebrating successes literally right now, literally tomorrow. But I think we have to be intentional about that shift. I think we have to go into situations knowing, yeah, I want this year to be better. I want to shift the climate and the culture of my classroom. I want to shift the climate and the culture of my school. And so maybe the way that we do that is figuring out, what is your biggest roadblock right now? Like, why are you focused on failures? Why are you struggling? Why are you spiraling? And then leverage that for a pivot. Take whatever it is that's your biggest roadblock and flip it freaking upside down so this school year can be your best school year to date. I think it starts with the climate and culture of ourself, and there's the trickle effect to the climate and the culture of our hallway, into our team, into our school, into our district, and into our community. That brings me to idea number two, because notice that I said, like, it starts with us. And I think this is something that is not talked about enough in education. Personal growth leads to professional growth. I think after COVID, so many of us were stressed out. We experienced real life trauma and drama in the form of a pandemic. It caught us off guard, and it took a lot of emotional grit just to get through that. And here we are now, right? Years later, and we realize that we maybe didn't process through some of the things that we needed to on a life level in order to see, like, professional growth. So how can we create some simple changes in our personal life that will then cause a significant impact in our professional life? We are to the point where the job market is open. You do not have to be a teacher if you do not want to be a teacher. There are job openings absolutely everywhere. And I believe that a lot of us are continuing to stay in education because that's what we've known. And I want to ask maybe a hard question, like, are you running toward or away from life in general? Some of us have kind of just been coasting, and I get it. I do. But I think that every single day of our life deserves to be celebrated. I believe in the 365 days of awesome mentality. That there are not just little tiny moments of awesome in every single school day. There are little tiny moments of awesome in every single day of our life. And I do believe that this year can be our best year yet, personally and professionally, if we are wanting that and if we are willing to step just a little bit outside of our comfort zones. So again, another individualized question. If you want this school year to be better, and I think people do, we want to have great school years. If the answer to that is yes, awesome. The next question is, so what is one area of your personal life, not professional life, not your school life, what is one area of your personal life that you would like to improve in the next 12 months? Is it maybe a health goal? Is it a fitness thing? Is it a finance thing? Is it a faith thing? Is it friends or is it family? Like, what pillar of life, if you felt like you got that in check, you know that that would make you feel better on a human level. Therefore, you would be better on an education level. Something that I think needs to be talked about more in education. I think for a while we got really focused on self-care, but it almost became a cliche thing. And self-care became this, I'm going to go get my nails done. Well, hell yeah. If you want to go get your nails done, go get your nails done. And then people were like, well, I'm going to start doing a hobby. Absolutely. Hell yeah. Get into a hobby. But I think we have to go a little bit deeper than that to figure out how we can be our best selves. Because I genuinely believe if we're not feeling whole as a human, it's going to leave a hole in our school life. All right? That brings us to pillar number three. Do you know what help makes our teacher life better and our personal life better? Relationships. Again, another cliche thing, like you can talk to any parent, any principal, any teacher, and you might say, what do you think is the most important thing in education? And I probably would say 85% of people would say relationships. And I absolutely agree, but I think that we have to focus in on like a bold statement. And I'm going to make this bold statement right now. I think it's never too early, and it's also never too late to build deeply rooted relationships. I'm gonna guess that you're listening to this episode at the beginning of the school year, because that's when I'm releasing it. But that's perfect for it's never too early, right? Maybe you're a day into the school year, a week in, a month in, maybe a quarter in. What? It's not too early to make sure that you're connecting with kids and connecting with colleagues. But it's also never too late, because I understand as a classroom teacher myself, we start to develop these narratives in our head, like, I'm never going to get through to that student. They got a wall up. Man, they're difficult to reach. He's a tough cookie. He's a tough pill to crack. We've got all of these things that we say, but we have to remember it's never too early and it's never too late. And I think what ends up happening is we get really obsessed with, like, stuff, right? Like, okay, do we need a new curriculum to build better relationships? Probably not. Do we need another incentive program at our school? Probably not. I'm not hating on curriculum or incentive programs or flowcharts or systems. I'm not hating on any of that, because we understand that we need those things. But I will say this, our kids really don't need more stuff. Our kids need us. They need that human-to-human interaction. They need that human-human connection. And a curriculum can help build that. A reward system or a positive behavioral system can build that. But at the end of the day, it is a human-to-human situation. Hand-to-hand, heart-to-heart, head-to-head. Like, these are the connections that our kids absolutely need. Now, hell yeah, sometimes they do need stuff, right? They do. They need pencils. My God, these kids need pencils. And maybe that's the idea that I want to share on this pillar. Can you pick something that fractured relationships last year and say, I'm not going to make it a thing this year? It's crazy, because I think one of the simplest thing that fractures relationships in schools are pencils. Kids will be like, I don't have a pencil. And I've been guilty of this. I need you to know I've been guilty of this. And a kid not having a pencil, but my God, I've given you 27 pencils this year. Or like, how did you remember your AirPods, an entire bag of Takis? You brought in literally every single trinket that you've ever owned in the past 10 years. You have so much literally shit with you, but you didn't bring a pencil. And we get frustrated about that. Maybe this year we say, in order to just smooth over relationships, in order for me to not get escalated, we're going to take something like pencils off the table, and we're just going to have a million of them. And that's just going to be how it is. Because somebody knows a small business owner that is willing to donate 9 million pencils to your classroom and to your school, as long as it can have the logo to their business on the pencil. Like, that is absolutely true. Because at the end of the day, we got to put the roots before the fruits. Because it's not about the pencil, it's about the person. Okay? It's not about the procedure, it's about the person. It's not about the grades, it's about the gratitude that we share in schools when we know that we are doing our best to build kids who are college, career, and life ready. And that starts with relationships. Straight up. So, how do you want to connect with kids this year? Another way to say that is, how can you take a struggle from last year and switch that into a success this year by taking something that drove you nuts relationally? And we're just gonna take it off the table. Whether that's a pencil, whether that's a hall pass, what is that? Okay? So that leads us to idea number 4. Oh, this is the one that people don't want to hear. Okay, so prepare your heart for it. Change is part of growth. And I think sometimes we get stagnant. We get stuck. And when you get stuck and when you get stagnant, it doesn't make you a bad teacher. It doesn't make you a bad human. It makes you a human in general, right? When you get stuck, that is a natural process. But I think that when we decide that we're going to change a little bit and we step outside of our comfort zone, I do believe that we bring our teaching to a new level. So maybe you're resisting change with a curriculum. Maybe you're resisting change because you know that you have been in fifth grade too long, or you've been in high school too long. Maybe you have been in a district too long. Or maybe it's none of those things. Maybe you're like, it's not the building, it's not the curriculum, it's not my colleagues, it's just you. I need you to know that we can change the game literally by saying, all right, I'm willing to get on the same level as kids. Here's an example. Let me give you a real life practical example. I resisted TikTok for a very long time. And some of you are like, oh God, social media. Just follow me on this. I resisted TikTok for so long because it felt like I'm too old for TikTok. I'm nearly 40 years old, okay? I'm too old for TikTok. And then I don't even know honestly what inspired me to like download and try it, but I did during COVID, like many of you, okay? And even after I got it, I'm like, this is so annoying. This is just for dancing. This is just for kids. This is stupid. And then somehow I started seeing the benefit of TikTok. I changed my mind on this. And somehow I found myself on the side of TikTok where I was getting new ideas. I was understanding the mindset of kids better. I was watching videos that I was like, oh, I've heard a kid say that. Now that word makes more sense to me. Oh, I've seen a kid do that. Now I understand that reference. And what I was realizing is I was actually learning so much from TikTok. It wasn't for brain rot like a lot of our students use it for. I was learning a lot of things. And this is not just for TikTok. This could be for Instagram, for Pinterest, for whatever it might be. I realized I was learning a lot. And I'll never forget that I started taking some of these trending things that kids were using that annoyed me and saying, what if I took that exact same thing and I leveraged it for learning? For example, I saw a video, this is probably 5 years ago, where a high school student was bringing Uno cards in their shorts pocket to practice. And when a coach would say something that they didn't like or they disagreed with the coach, they would pull out the Uno skip card and just flash it at their coach. And it was so mean and it was so disrespectful. And I was like, ooh, this is why kids are so terrible. Ooh, this is why TikTok is so bad for kids. Because they were literally being disrespectful with a silly toy like an Uno card. And I thought, okay, I can be mad about it, or I can put an Uno card in my pocket and use this for a classroom management tool. Kids understand the reference. Kids understand Uno cards. So what if I put a tiny little Uno card in my pocket? They started selling baby Uno at the $1.25 tree. What if I put a baby Uno card in my pocket, and the next time I get annoyed by a student doing something that is disruptive, instead of being like, oh my God, we have talked about this a million times and me getting elevated and me getting frustrated, what if I just pulled out that Uno reverse card or that Uno skip card and just held it up? Not make a big deal about it. Just hold that up and show them visually. Hey, I heard you say that. Try that again. Reverse. Hey, I just saw that. That's a behavior that we can skip in the future. And it was just this quick visual reminder that that's a no thank you for me. And guess what? It freaking worked. It did. It was an absolute game changer for my classroom and classroom management. And I think to be a game changer for kids, sometimes we have to be a little bit uncomfortable and we have to try something new. We have to turn something average, like an Uno card. I mean, they're fun, but like it's pretty common, and turn it into something awesome, which is like a classroom management tool. And so that requires change. That requires us to do something new. Growth happens when we change. Change happens when we grow. So what is a big struggle that you personally have right now when it comes to engaging students? And how are you going to step outside of your comfort zone in that way to create a game-changing moment in your classroom. Because that brings us to idea number 5. We got to build it. We got to build something. We got to build a relationship. We got to build a plan. We got to build a strategy. And 9 times out of 10, that plan, that flow chart, that strategy is about making a connection to another human. When we build things, connections start to happen. And I said it before, but I want to say it again. Relationships have really never been more important in education, even though that sounds cliche. And so one strategy that I want to give to you that has been really helpful, that I've used it more in the past 5 years than I probably have in the previous 10. But it's about building connections and fostering those connections. It's a two-part line. It's a two-part statement. Instead of asking kids, hey, what's wrong? Or asking colleagues, hey, what's wrong? Which is usually seen as like a nice question, right? You're checking in on me. Hey, what's wrong? I've kind of replaced it with something different. I'll be like, hey, tell me what's going on in your head. I've removed the word wrong. Hey, tell me what's going on in your head right now. Or hey, tell me what you're feeling in your heart right now. I've removed the word wrong because I think the word wrong creates this barrier of, why can't I feel like this? Why am I not allowed to feel this way? Why is it wrong to be crying? Why is it wrong to be frustrated? It's not. All feelings are fine, but all actions associated with those emotions are not fine. So if you can tell me what's going on in your head, if you can tell me what you're feeling in your heart, I might be able to help you with that. And so I think that's just like an important reminder that even on your worst days, when you're checking in with a staff member or a student, even on your worst days, you are still literally the best thing that's happening in somebody else's life because you care enough to check in, because you care enough to watch your words, because you care enough to say, I want to know what's going on in your head. I want to know what's going on in your heart. It's not wrong to feel any of these emotions. You matter to me because relationships matter to me. I get that sometimes it feels emotionally exhausting to build connections with people. I get it. And so I want to give you just like a silly strategy for that. Sometimes when I'm like, I don't know how to make this lesson interesting. I don't know how to make a connection with kids on this content or this curriculum. When I get to a point where I'm like, I don't even want to teach this. This is so dumb. Why are we still teaching this in this century? Sometimes what I'll do is I'll just bust out a sticky mustache. And I'll put that sticky mustache on my face. And I will just go about my day. And I will never address the fact that I've put a sticky mustache on my face. If a student says, what are you doing? I'll be like, I'm teaching my lesson. If a student says, what's on your face? I'll be like, oh my God, do I have something on my face? If a student says, why do you have a mustache on your face? I'll be like, oof, that's rude. Don't say that to people. That's really funny in middle school and high school. Because they're like, that's funny. So be like, that's rude to say that to a teacher. If you say that to an elementary student, they're going to get really confused. But this is just proof that like, we don't have to try so hard sometimes to connect with every kid, every colleague, every year. I think sometimes we overcomplicate relationships, honestly. And so maybe I want to ask, what part of celebrating staff or celebrating students do you struggle with most? Is it the time component? Because there are things that take no time, like putting on a dang sticky mustache. Is it that you don't know what to say? Because I've already solved that too. If you don't know what to say, just say, hey, you want to tell me what's going on in your head? Hey, you want to tell me what's going on in your heart? Those are perfect things. So if it's about time, we've just solved that for you. If it's about, but I don't know what to say. Sometimes it's saying nothing. Sometimes it's just being with other humans. And that brings me to my very last statement. The sixth thing is that we can crush it for kids and we can crush it for colleagues on a daily basis. You might be asking like, what does that even mean? What does it mean to crush it? My definition of crush it is to do a job particularly well and exceed expectations. And I think that the expectation in education, while it feels pretty high, I think in a lot of ways, the expectations are pretty low. And I think that gives us some space to have a perfectly imperfect year. I don't think we should be striving for perfection because it's not even realistic. We cannot be responsible for that kind of expectation, but I think we can have a perfectly imperfect year. I think sometimes it just means putting on a fanny pack and attaching a little Bose wireless speaker to that fanny pack and walking down the hallways of your school with a little bit of Kids Bop radio on. That surprises kids. That surprises colleagues. That turns your classroom into a club when you're like, it's fanny pack Friday. I got a fanny pack on. We got some jams. We're just going to fist pump and we're going to smile. I think each and every day is an opportunity to not just surprise students with something silly and quirky, but it's an opportunity to crush it for kids. It's an opportunity to connect with colleagues. And I'm just curious, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like, yes! 1 being like, this is some bullshit. Where are you at on that scale of you wanting to crush it for kids? Now, I know, I think some of you would assume that I'm at a level 10, right? I'm here throwing out these ideas. I'm genuinely excited. Like, if I am being honest, am I like 10 out of 10? Let's go. No, I'm not. I want to be really real with you. I think vulnerability and transparency is important. If you were to ask me on a scale of 1 to 10, how much realistically do you think you can crush it for kids this year? I would say I'm probably at an 8. Okay? Probably at an 8. That's really high still, and I get that. But the next question would be like, okay, tell me why you're at a level 8, Monica. And I would ask the same thing for you, whatever number you picked. Why did you pick that number? And for me, I think that I need to get back into a better health routine, like on a personal level. Over the summer, I kind of stopped running. Honestly, I ate like an asshole for a majority of the summer. And so I'm not feeling my personal best. And like we talked about at the start of this episode, like when we're not our best personally, it's hard to be our best professionally. So my number went down 1 for that. A completely personal thing. The other thing would be that I'm in a new role this year. And I'm still trying to figure out what it looks like, sounds like, and feels like. Like, what does each of my day and each of my weeks actually look like? And so that's a little bit of unknown. And so that's why I gave my year an 8. Am I excited about students? Yes. Do I love my staff members? Yes. Am I still passionate about the profession? Yes. But I just wanted to be honest with you and kind of run those numbers with you. So here's what I will say. Those are the 6 kind of things, the 6 pillars, my 6 ideas, and I also gave you 6 strategies within, from scratch and sniff stickers to silly mustaches to avoiding the question, what's wrong, and using baby Uno cards, right? There were tons of ideas built into this short and sweet, like, 30-minute episode. But what I will say is, like, these were happening quick. And I think sometimes we just need a little bit more time to marinate on ideas. I think sometimes we need a little bit more depth to ideas. And I think sometimes we need this, like these moments, more consistently with groups of fellow educators who are like-minded, who want to find more success, who want to step outside of their comfort zones. And so I want you to know, if you are liking what's happening in this episode, but you're still feeling maybe a little stressed, maybe struggling, maybe scared, maybe excited, maybe overwhelmed, whatever feeling you're feeling, you're like not alone. And one podcast episode is a really great start, but it's not going to change things for the whole school year just in this one moment. But I do want you to know that this school year, I am leading something called the Awesome Academy, and it's a 6-course online virtual PD. And fun fact, each of the 6 things that we talked about, climate and culture of school, being your best personally so you can be your best professionally, building rooted relationships with kids, having game-changing moments so students engage more, creating those relationships on a daily basis with staff and students, and the opportunity to crush it for kids in silly, significant ways. Each of those 6 things that I talked about, there's an entire course for it in the Awesome Academy for Teachers. It's one course per month for 6 months during this school year. And it's absolutely online and it's flexible. So you don't have to stress about like sub plans or the cost of you getting subbed out and going to an online in-person conference, because it's all online. In fact, in this podcast format, it's me talking and you listening and you marinating. But one of my favorite things about the Awesome Academy is there are 18 live events, virtual live events, where I'm on the microphone. You can join in on the mic. You can join in the chat box. It is conversational and you can dive into specific questions that you want answered. I know a lot of you are probably like, tell me more about these Uno cards, because I use the Uno cards all the stinking time, where you can say like, hey, I want to know more about that. Let's dive into that. And I'm like, hell yes. Not only are there live events, but there during the course of the Awesome Academy, there are 35 super engaging videos that you can watch on your couch, in pajamas, with a glass of wine. It's practically like Netflix for teachers. You can binge watch these videos. And every single video is on another topic that I know that we as educators need right now. And because this is official virtual PD, you can actually earn up to 90 hours worth of PD credits. For anyone who's wondering about how am I going to renew my certificate? It's so hard to find fun and flexible and affordable PD these days. I get it, right? Like traveling and hotels and conferences are expensive. The Awesome Academy, you can earn up to 90 hours worth of PD credits. Not to mention, there's going to be so many thought-provoking questions. There's going to be so much interaction. There's so much flexibility that the Awesome Academy is literally the thing that could change everything for you this school year. And not just for this school year, but for like every single school year in the future. And there's a lot of cool like bonuses, because if you decide that like, yes, I want to do this, I send you a box of swag, okay? I send you a box of swag and little toys and trinkets and things that you can implement with your students and in your classroom that are connected to a lot of the ideas. So you can get signed up for the Awesome Academy and automatically join all 6 courses. Some of you listening might be like, 6 courses, that's a lot. I can't do 6, but I could do 4. Or, Monica, I've already done 2 of them, but I need to do some other ones. I totally get it. So you can sign up for all 6 courses and save yourself a ton of money. Or if you're like, I want to try 2 out of the 6 of those courses, you can also sign up for those individually. But registration for the full Awesome Academy and registration for the very first course of the year are open right now. You can go to monicagenta.com/Awesome Academy. That's Monica, GENTA.com/Awesome Academy to learn more about it. The very first course starts in that first to second week of September. So there is time to get you signed up. But if you're listening to this later, I guarantee you there's a course that's getting ready to get started. So you can jump in at any time. The Awesome Academy and these 6 virtual courses are truly so much fun, and it is a joy to lead them every single year. As a fellow classroom teacher, they're always changing, they're always evolving, and they're always packed full of things that actually work for this generation of learners. So if you liked the 6 ideas on how to make this school year awesome, I am confident that you would love the hundreds of ideas that flow out of the courses within the Awesome Academy. I put a direct link for the Awesome Academy in the show notes, so you can check that out at monicagenta.com/Awesome Academy. But I want you to continue to feel this energy. I want you to continue to feel whatever you're feeling, but know that there is somebody who's got your back and is willing to do life with you alongside you during this entire school year. Remember that the This Teacher Life podcast is released every single Sunday night, so you can listen to it on your Monday morning commute to school. So be sure to like and subscribe and follow the podcast for these free weekly episodes. I hope that you have loved this episode. If there's anything that I can answer for you about the Awesome Academy, please do not hesitate to reach out to me via email or send me a message on social media. I want to thank you for listening to this episode, but most importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.